And go. All right. Are y'all all right? Y'all something I know different, but it'll be all right. Hold on. Yep. All right. Luke chapter 1. Let me give y'all a thought before we get into Luke chapter 1. We understand it's the beginning of the Christmas story or the New Testament story. The one thing I love about this time, you have the forerunner of Christ, right? Is John the Baptist. I love this story. I got a real understanding of what forerunner is. I probably shared it here before, but I love sharing it. The forerunner back in that day was when a ship would come into port. They would send a small ship attached, a rope attached, to go into a narrow pass or a shallow pass that had a deep, narrow ravine. And they would go in and tie into a big rock. And then they would pull the ship directly in. That way it wouldn't get pushed off to the left or to the right. And it couldn't be steered. It wouldn't be shipwrecked. But when the forerunner would come into like a desolate place, when you've seen the forerunner boat, which is a small boat coming into the narrow port, what was coming was all the things that that place needed. All the supplies, all the goods. Everything that civilization would push to you by sea, right? So I'm kind of giving you this hope you like as much as I do. When the forerunner was coming, you'd be excited, right? You're like, man, here comes the forerunner. And everybody was excited about the forerunner. Here comes the rope. We got to tie the rope off, and it's exciting. And the forerunner would constantly be saying, yes, I'm glad to be here too. But there's one greater than me coming. Amen. I love this kind of stuff. I'm just pronouncing, I'm just coming before all the good that is behind me. I don't have any of the good. Amen. I'm just letting you know he's coming. And then when the good was coming, when the ship would be pulled in with all the things, guess what? The forerunner would then be placed back into the ship. And guess what? All of its glory would be absorbed by the ship. Golly, I wish that's kind of exciting stuff. Because that's John the Baptist. He was the forerunner of Christ. He ran a line before Jesus. The man with all the goods is coming. I'm not worthy to latch his shoes. He's got everything that you need. He's on his way. And when he got there, John was absorbed by Jesus' glory. He said, let me decrease as he increases. I'm not the Savior. I'm just the one who told you about him. Well, why I'm going to share this story tonight is because there's a few great points that I want to make, but you have to have a beginning. You got to have some real normal beginning to even have a great, great thing like John the Baptist or Jesus Christ. Well, if you'll give me a couple of verses there, just read me first, second, third maybe.
Forasmuch as many have taken in hand to set forth in order a declaration of those things which are most surely believed among us, even as they delivered them unto us, which from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word, it seemed good to me also, having had perfect understanding of all things from the very first, to write unto thee in order, most excellent Theopolis.
All right, stop right there. Oh, I only had to read these three verses for one reason only. It was amazing how he put it and how he wrote it out. What we have in hand, what he's saying is, what I'm going to put in your hand is one letter of the Bible, that we absolutely believe, right? And I love that because then he says, oh Theopolis, oh great Theopolis, his name literally means friend of God. Okay? So read that with this. Read it. Change Theopolis to friend of God. Read that, just his little title right there.
The verse?
Yes, just read the verse and I'll jump in.
It seemed good to me also, having had perfect understanding of all things from the very first, to write unto thee in order,
most excellent friend of God. Listen, I know that's fun. You're thinking, man, Theopolis was a great guy. Theopolis is you. Amen. That's Theopolis. I no longer call you servants, I call you friend. Amen? Because a servant doesn't know what the master's doing. We know what he was doing. He was dying for us. He made us a friend. We are a great friend to God, and he gave us a book to read and understand. And when he wrote it to us so many years back, Luke didn't even know it. He was under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, wrote down, oh, great, valuable friend of God. Golly, bum, if that don't get you excited, that's how God sees you. When you read his book, that's what he sees. Amen. Oh, let me say, I kind of got a little sharp edge right there. I'm sorry. That's how he sees you when you're saved. But when you put his book in your hand, he says, friend, you're opening up a treasure trove. Amen. You're opening up the answers to life. You're opening up the answers. You're a dear friend to me, and you're going to find that out. When you read this book. Ain't that awesome? Is that neat? All right, now we're going to go on to the next part, okay? Y'all good? Check this out. You're doing a wonderful, you're a good reader.
Thank you. That thou mightest know the certainty of those things wherein thou hast been instructed. There was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias of the course of Abia, and his wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless.
Okay, stop. All right. Now, you think there's a period between the Old Testament and the New Testament is about 400 years, right? And nothing's going on. There's a lot going on. There's just nothing written about it. Amen? But listen, all of a sudden, there's a light about to shine in a dark place. Amen? God's about to enter in the picture. Amen? But guess what? God chooses Zechariah. Out of nowhere, God chooses Zechariah, right? And his wife Elizabeth. I mean, he chooses. Man, golly, that's kind of cool that God all of a sudden just you, right? And then you find out a little bit about their character, right? They're righteous before God. Now listen, I'm giving you the foreknowledge of them. Man, if you just read this part, you're saying, man, they've kept the commandments and they're righteous before God. They've got a good standing. No wonder God chose them, right? So listen, it's good to be faithful to God. It's good to be faithful, found faithful to God. By who? God. Listen, when you think nobody's watching or nobody's listening or nobody's seeing, remember God is.
Amen.
Amen. And understand the Holy Spirit will let you know, hey, God's paying attention. Amen. And he picks these out. You might want to make a note right there. Good people. Good people. Man, good people. Right? Give me another verse. I might stop you on this. I'm not sure.
And they had no child because that Elizabeth was barren, and they both were now well stricken in years.
Wait a minute. Wait a minute. You mean that he was a priest serving God, both of them were righteous and upstanding before God, and God chose them. Even though she was barren, and they were well stricken of age. Somewhere in their life, they made up their mind. I don't know what God's doing. I don't know why he hasn't given us a child. They didn't go to blaming each other. They didn't go to blaming God. They went to serving God. Amen. Man, I hope if you don't get anything else out of this, man, this is cool stuff. They weren't chosen because they were great people. They were chosen by they were people who loved God despite their circumstance. I mean, I don't know about you, but that would have been hard. You could imagine all the things that you could have told God or said to God. He's a priest. He's had plenty of time to be up at the house of God burning incense and making prayers. I guarantee you every one of them started out like this. Hey, we still haven't had that boy yet. But God, I still love you. And she was at home while he was doing his priestly duties, whatever they're doing. And she's at home saying, God, I don't know what you're doing. But you know what? I love you and I trust you. Because God brought them in corporately. He brought a husband and a wife. It couldn't have been one opposite of the other. He needed them both. Amen? He needed two people who were committed to God despite what was going on. Oh, man, I wish I could really dig in right here. Could you imagine, Justin, in a real world? I wonder if it's me. I wonder if it's me. Man, when stuff starts to go wrong in ministry or in life, stuff like that, the first thing I do is I start doing inventory. I don't know about y'all, but if something bad's going on, the first thing I do is I'm like, hey, God, let's run inventory. What's, you know, are you pleased with this? Are you pleased with that? Are you pleased? Show me what's going on, right? I'm sure Zacharias runs some inventory. God, if it's me, God, don't hold up my wife because it's me. And I'm sure his wife was at doing whatever she does, and she's going, God, is it me? Yeah. And then the only other common thing you can do is say, well, is it her or is it him? Yeah. Right? But what the beautiful thing about this is, it doesn't say that in the Scriptures. It just said they were righteous and upstanding before God. They hadn't had a child, and they were well stricken in age. And guess what? They were willing to ride it out with God. Amen. Man, I don't know about you. I know this probably won't set your hair on fire, make you shout in glory. But I'm telling you right now, there's some good stuff right there. I mean, I love to feel God. I love to be in a moving spirit. But praise God, I think God likes it when we're just flat out obedient despite our circumstances. I believe God was tickled. If you can get tickled and be God, I bet God was, I mean, I know y'all are, I bet every once in a while, because I see him as a dad. I wonder if he just looked, look at him kids of mine. Man, hey. They've got a major situation going on in their life, and they're past where they should have been. And man, look at them. They still love me. They still love me. They're still. Do you realize how the devil and their own flesh had to get all over them all the time?
Yes.
If you ever do anything for God, you'll hear this. He get on you. Well, you ain't being a man. Nobody said nothing. Nobody done nothing. This didn't happen. Why didn't now? Listen, can I help y'all? Can I help you? God doesn't work this way. You do something and God does something. We think he does. I don't know who does that, but God doesn't do that. God doesn't go, well, I took one step, God, now you got to take yours. Amen? I prayed today, so now, Lord, bring the glory. Amen? I read 2 chapters. Go ahead, knock my socks off. Amen? Hey, didn't sin, I think, all day. Go ahead. Right? That's not the way the Lord works. You just got to make up your mind. Bless. I can relate to Zechariah more than I can Elizabeth, because I'm in a ministry place. Help everybody, preach everybody, do everybody, do all. Any, what? Huh? Where's my? How many? I wonder how many blessings, how many kids they blessed. Huh? Will you pray for my child? Yeah, I'd love to pray for your child. Will you pray for my child? I wonder, and on Elizabeth's side, guess what? I wonder how many times somebody knocked on her door. You're not going to believe it. I wouldn't even expect it. We wouldn't even try. Not even trying. Yeah, I know. I know what you mean. Yeah, I got that. About to whoop you spiritually right here in the floor. Right? Y'all, we won't be real, but that's true. Yeah, I'll be praying for you, right? Okay. Y'all see it? Mm-hmm. Faithful, honorable before God, and then you find out they ain't perfect people. Thank God. Then you find out everything ain't going their way. That should give you some hope. Yes. That's one reason. When I read the Bible, that's one reason I like reading the Bible, because he don't leave any of the bad stuff out. Man, if he just left the bad stuff out, you'd be sitting there going, we can't do it. But all of a sudden, he throws in there, hey, they didn't have any children. Go ahead, sis.
And it came to pass that while he executed the priest office before God in the order of his course, According to the custom of the priest's office, his lot was to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord.
All right, stop right there. Wait a minute. So now it's his time by lot. Do y'all understand what lot is? That means it's almost like you flip some dice, more or less. I know it's different for us, but and it fell on him. It's his chance. It's his time. It's his opportunity. Well, just, man, that's amazing, ain't it? No, that's God. Well, somebody said, I get this, and I'm not so spiritual that I'll wear people out about it. But somebody said, good luck, brother, good luck. I'm like, I don't believe in luck. I don't wear people. I don't go back over the top of it and say, look, I don't believe in luck. I usually just say, yeah, you're welcome. Thank you. But listen to this. I believe that God is an on-purpose God.
Amen.
Amen?
Yes.
And I don't think anything just happens, especially when it's about your purpose and calling. I love this part is you found out they were righteous before God. You found out they had a major problem. And then you see them in the temple working. Mm-hmm. Constant.
Yeah.
I mean, filling the incense. Every time the oil runs down, he's putting it in. He is absolutely serving to the highest level of his capability. He ain't worried about what he didn't have. He's still worried just about God.
Amen.
Worried about God and the people. I'm going to be a conduit between God and the people despite of what I'm not getting. Man, I could probably have an altar call for myself right now. Amen? Oh, Lord, what am I not? And God said, oh, would you focus less on what you're not and what you are? Amen? Focus on what you have with me. Amen? Because they had a big, big blessing right there. They were considered righteous before God. Is that worth a lot? That's worth a lot. Go ahead, sis.
And the whole multitude of the people were praying without at the time of incense. And there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said unto him, fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John.
Ain't that cool?
Yes.
Wait, listen, I want y'all to see this. Which one? Hey, Lord. y'all get what I'm saying. Say it. Your prayer has been heard. God dispatched the angel. Angels are messengers from God off the throne of glory. Go tell John. He got his answer, and go down there and tell him, and all of a sudden he's down there doing his spiritual stuff. And God shows up. Wouldn't it be awesome during your spiritual stuff that God would show up?
Amen.
It's kind of cool because it scared him. Because sometimes we don't believe God's going to show up in our spiritual stuff.
Yeah.
Amen?
Right.
All of a sudden he's doing his thing, and all of a sudden he looks over and he's like, hey, what are you doing here? Right? Because he ain't supposed to be in there. But all of a sudden they're talking. Amen? They're having a communication. And guess what he says? And this is what I meant. Your prayer has been answered. Which one? Which one? That's what I'd probably say. Which one? Huh? Does it matter? He know, golly. He's a priest. He knew exactly what prayer he was talking about. Oh, for a son. And which one? Because I've been praying that forever. Amen? Ever since we've been trying, we've been praying. Amen?
Yeah.
And all of a sudden you show up. But it doesn't matter. It's just amazing. God shows up. And then it's a matter of fact. Right? Your wife, who was barren, is going to be a mother. You're going to be a father. What? Man, I wish it worked like that all the time, don't you? But what's good is God heard his prayer. God hears your prayers.
Amen.
And the answers are yes, no, not yet. And I don't like the not yets.
Amen?
Amen?
That's true.
None of us do. We're kids of God. Amen? Just give me a yes or no. I said, not yet. Because you ain't ready for that. Or you couldn't handle that. Right?
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
And thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb.
All right, stop right there. I wanted to get something. It's so detailed with God that he gave him a name before he was born. Amen. Ain't that amazing? God had already picked out, God had already got it all figured out. Amen. He got so detailed. God, I need a son. God, I'm working on it. Amen. He's going to be different than you. He's going to have a different name than you would want to give him. But I got a different purpose for him. Amen. So what I want to give you in this whole message now, give me just a little bit more information about who John's going to be. I think I cut you off of that part.
And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God.
Mm-hmm.
And right. He shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias, and to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord.
Is there a part in there where it said he'd be filled by the Holy Spirit even in the womb that's already been there?
Yes.
Yep. All right, will you go back and give me that verse? Sorry.
For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. He shall be filled with the Holy Ghost even from his mother's womb.
Y'all remember when that happened, right? Right?
Yep.
Mary comes up to meet Elizabeth. And, you know, at that time, Zacharias can't speak. And while she was entering towards the house, she would say, "Hail to the house." She was saying, "I'm here. It's Mary," right? And when she said that, when she made the salutation, John the Baptist, 6 months in the womb, was filled with the Holy Spirit. And some of it shot through the umbilical cord. Huh?
Amen.
Well, you don't believe me, just read it. It's in there. Because the Holy Spirit filled him and then spilled him. And you know what? I see it a little bit different than the Bible lets on. I think John's going, "There he is! That's him! It's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords! Hallelujah! He's here!"
Because
that's all he was made to do. When Jesus showed up, that's all he's supposed to do. There he is. As soon as he showed up at the Red Sea or at the Jordan River to be baptized, he said, "There he is. That's the Savior of the world. Takes away the sin of the whole world. Right there he is. That's him." Didn't even hesitate. "That's him. That's the guy right there." How do you know? Because when I get around him, I can't help myself. Amen? I can't help myself. That's 6 months in the womb. God was knitting him, and all of a sudden Jesus showed up. Do something just a little funny. Just bear with me. Can y'all handle just a little? God, y'all stay right here. When they first met, they were both in fluid. The next time they meet, they're both standing in fluid. Both of them are in the water. Their mother's water. Oh, come on. If y'all don't ever like having fun like that, that's amazing. Both of them were standing in their mother's womb in the water, and they're both sitting there. And he's going, "Man, this is amazing." Jesus is like, "Just wait a little while. I'll come see you in about 30 years when your ministry's rocking on, and you're going to have to baptize me, brother." Amen?
Yeah.
Ain't that cool? When you just see something like that in the Scriptures, John and Jesus always meeting in the water. Amen? It's cool. I just like stuff like that. It's powerful. Amen? Y'all act like I'm crazy, but I'm not. That's good stuff. But what I was thinking about was, everybody else is having kids. I guarantee you, everybody else is having kids. During their whole lifetime, during their whole service, during their whole ministry. Kid after kid after kid after kid. How many kids they prayed over, how many families they blessed, how many times they just kept going for God no matter what. And they served no matter what they had going on in their personal life. They were righteous before God. And God had them wait. And God had them wait in a place that wasn't comfortable. A place that wasn't easy. Amen? A place that you thought that maybe, just maybe, God forgot about you. God, you done it for everybody else, but you just kind of passed us over on that deal. God, I guess you just didn't think we could handle that. And that's all right. But what God was saying is, no, if you'll wait on me, oftentimes I can give you something better. Something better for you but a lot better for me. Can I really? I want to get right here with you. Sometimes God has to test you through the trouble and the fire and the lack. Y'all might want to write that one down. And the lack thereof of not having when everybody else is having. Where God can say, will you love me when I don't do what you want me to do? Will you love me when you don't think I'm doing it right? Because if you can, I got something that I can only trust you with. Amen? When I give you what I'm going to give you, it won't only bless you, and it will, but it'll bless me. And it'll save a lot of people. Amen? You just got to be able to be willing to wait on God and understand His will and His timing's perfect. Amen? Because I've been there, and you'll be there over and over and over in life. God, what are you doing? That better be followed up with, no matter what, I still love you. And I'm going to still do what you have me to do, despite of what I'm not getting or what I'm not having or whatever it is, fill the blank in. Amen? Guys, I know it's... Let's just do it this way. Let's all stand.